In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text for today is our epistle reading from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, which I've already read. Please be seated. The Christian life is one of growth. The gospel, according to St. John, in that gospel, Jesus speaks of how we are born from above in the waters of holy baptism, that there is a birth that takes place. Later on, in that same gospel, Jesus uses the image of a vine to describe growth in the Christian church. He says that he is depicted as the vine, and those who are grafted into him by faith and by their baptismal birth grow in him and produce in themselves the fruit of faith. St. Peter, in his first epistle, describes growth in the Christian life like this. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. This is the very image that St. Paul lays before us in our epistle reading for today. But the question is, how is it that this growth in the Christian life takes place? St. Paul begins by saying that he has not ceased praying for the Colossian Christians that they may be filled with the knowledge of his will, that is, God's will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. In this letter, St. Paul doesn't want his hearers merely to listen to the words that he has written and then to set them aside as if they have no impact on their lives. He wants to, as we prayed in the old TLH, to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. His desire for the Colossian Christians and us by extension is that the word would become a part of who they are to the core, not something that they just receive on occasion and then leave by the wayside, but that it would become who they are as Christians. One of the struggles that we face in our society today is a lack of biblical literacy, or as St. Paul might put it from our epistle, a lack of spiritual wisdom and understanding. Let me give you an example just to prove my point. There's a group called Ligonier Ministries that puts out a survey every year to kind of describe the state of theology among American Christians, especially evangelicals. In this year's survey, 52% of the respondents agreed that God accepted worship from adherence to Islam and Judaism. And 6% more of those respondents said that they just weren't sure. This means that more than half of the evangelicals in America today either reject the first commandment or they are simply ignorant that God himself forbids worship in other religions. As if that's not disturbing enough, 78% of respondents in the same survey say that Jesus is a created being, that he really isn't God, but just something really great that God created along with the plants and the animals and so on and so forth. 78% said that Jesus wasn't really God. These numbers are rather terrifying and sobering. The scriptures teach us that Christ, the Son of God, is the only way to the Father. These numbers indicate that a large percentage of American evangelicals disagree. But Jesus warns that he is the only way to the Father, that no one comes to the Father but by him. In other words, if you don't have the Jesus of the Bible, you don't have the Jesus of salvation. You cannot say that you love Jesus all the while ignoring what he says in his word. Jesus says in John's gospel, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You cannot have Jesus apart from his word. The two go together. So when St. Paul prays that the Colossians would be filled with all knowledge of God's will, he is speaking to them about the word of God itself. It is by that word that Christians are filled with knowledge and spiritual wisdom so that they would be made pleasing in the sight of God. After all, it is the word of God alone that declares us to be pleasing in God's sight. According to the Ten Commandments, we all have fallen short of the glory of God. This is certainly true. But in Christ Jesus, we have gone from being under the curse of sin to being washed clean in the blood of Jesus. It is that blood that makes us pleasing in the sight of God. From the cleansing of Christ's blood, then, St. Paul says we are to bear fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. The fruit of faith in Christ Jesus is that the Christian then is freed from the condemnation of the law to begin living according to it. By the blood of Jesus Christ, your Savior, you have been set free from the selfishness of self-love to begin to love your neighbor as yourself and God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The law which previously curbed your innate desire to have what does not belong to you has been set free from that bondage, and that bondage to material possessions and wealth. By the word of God, we know that everything that we have, both in our bodies and in our souls, our possessions, our reputation, all of that comes from our Lord's hand. And with that knowledge that's been revealed to us in the word of God, we are free to use all of that for the advancement of his kingdom and for the benefit of our neighbor. It is as St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 13, "Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law." In short, to love the neighbor that God has given to you is to begin in this life already to fulfill the law of God. This shows us, then, what God's will is for us. God's will is expressed for us in the Ten Commandments, for they teach us how to love him and to love our neighbor, even as God has first loved us. St. Paul continues in our epistle reading, "May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." And so the more that we know the will of God in the Word, the more strength we will be given for the sorrows of this life. St. Paul lists two of the fruits of the Spirit that come from this: patience and joy. These things are things the Holy Spirit works within us through the Word. These things come from knowledge and the trust that comes from our Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us in his perfect life and in his sacrificial death. It is he who has ransomed you from death. This shows that God's expressed will for you is that you would be saved from death. Our Lord says through the prophet Ezekiel in the 33rd chapter of his book, "As I live, declares the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn from his way and live." He says again in 1 Timothy chapter 2, God desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus is the one who has broken the power of Satan and death and hell over you. It is by his blood that he has taken you from the domain of darkness and transferred you into the kingdom of Christ. You are an heir of all of the treasures of God's kingdom. This means that all that he has is yours in Christ Jesus, who is your redemption, who is your forgiveness of sins. Therefore, dear friends in Christ, let us then consider how bountifully our Lord has dealt with us. We have been given so many wonderful treasures, both earthly and eternal. In Christ Jesus, you are an heir of a kingdom that is without end. The psalmist puts words into our mouth. What shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits to me? I will lift the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. As you know from our ongoing conversations we've had regarding the church budget this year, we are currently behind in meeting our budget for 2018. At our last voters meeting a couple of weeks ago, we decided to open up a line of credit to help us meet our monthly obligations. This includes everything that we fund here in the church, from the light and the heat that we're currently enjoying this morning. And it also includes also our mission work through the school, through the district, and around the world. Now, although it is unsettling to hear that we've crossed into a negative checkbook balance after the last quarter, I want you to consider the great inheritance that is ours in Christ Jesus and how he has purchased that inheritance for us, not with gold or silver, but with his holy and precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. As such, let our generosity increase all the more. As a congregation, we have been able to accomplish so much with what the Lord has given to us by supporting the work of spreading the gospel around us in this place through the mission festival that we held earlier this year and through our support of things like Issues, etc., which broadcast to Christians and those who do not yet believe around the world. We have helped spread the gospel within our district through what we have given through different projects, including most recently the Outreach Kentucky project. We have helped teach the faith to our children and to yet other children who are yet unbaptized, and even to their parents who do not yet know Christ through the work that we've accomplished in our association school. And so I ask, what do we have that the Lord has not provided to us? Do we not have a God who promises to give us everything that we need to support this body and life through the daily bread that he so graciously gives to us? Even so, has he not made you an heir of his kingdom and all that is his? Indeed, we do. Our God is abundant in what he gives, that we would not lack any good thing. And because of this, we are free from the need to accumulate more and more that we might open a generous hand for the work of the church in the proclamation of the gospel here and around the world. That others, too, might become heirs and co-heirs with us in Christ Jesus and of his eternal kingdom, having been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into his marvelous light. In Jesus' name. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.